This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I've told you about the DMs that I send myself, yes?
We're going to hear from one?
We're going to hear from not one. We're going to hear from multiple of those DMs. I sent myself a DM, which makes me look really smart. We'll hear from that. Yep, we'll hear from those DMs.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Thank you for being a friend.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DPHRO Rothenberg with you, the big 7 o'clock hour. Now, before we get into our sports talk and this whole Brian Cashman sob story, tomorrow night, Kansas and Nova get the Final Four started 6.09 p.m., followed by Duke and Carolina, which will be very hostile in my home, at 8.49, all from New Orleans. 98.7 ESPN Hoops Update brought to you by Corona. Live in the moment. Live la vida mas fina with an ice-cold Corona. For 21 plus, relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois. You go to bed very early. You have to stay up for Duke Carolina tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, I may come to the Rothenberg house.
You're welcome. You want to come over?
I'm thinking about it. How nervous is Sherry about this game?
I don't think she's all that nervous yet, because I don't think she realizes how awful it's going to be. It is going to be out of control terrible. Already yesterday, I have Alex saying, like, I don't want to be in the same room as Ben. But like I told you, there's a fight over the main television because the television in the den somehow gets the game like 3 seconds ahead of any other television. So if you're in another room, now you get reaction from the main room.
Was that cable? Which one's cable? Which one's satellite?
They're all DirecTV.
Oh, they're all DirecTV.
They're
My cable is ahead of my
Well, that makes sense. That your
satellite.
Cable would probably considerably, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a gap there, yeah.
Yeah. But ours is, I don't know. For some reason, this one TV gets it before, so that's the TV they all want to be on. It's going to be awful. I might video the whole thing and then at some point use it as a bribe against these kids because it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, but could this get to, like, I mean, I understand the back and forth, which is fine, and there'll be some crime. But, I mean, at some point, could there be, like, punches thrown here, you think?
No. No, they never go that far where they throw punches. There'll be taunting.
But this has never happened before, though.
Listen, I guess anything is possible. I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. I am so excited for this game and yet dreading it all because and I've told Alex, like, I babied you along. Carolina's winning. I hate Carolina, but for you, I was okay that they were winning games. Enough is enough. Now it's getting too close for comfort, and they're playing Duke. So now I am sitting here rooting against my 11-year-old son and knowing the sadness and the heartache that he's going to have to endure.
This puts the whole family at jeopardy right now.
The whole thing. This thing could be a colossal disaster.
Yeah, I think in years down the road, when you know, Ben and Alex are in therapy, this will be the moment they could point to.
I think that's very fair. But I don't think this is even for me. Like, what could I do to become a better parent to help them through what's going to happen tomorrow?
No, I don't think there's anything you can do.
Yeah, exactly. We're too far down the road. Here is Coach K on playing Carolina for a third time this season.
To me, it's an opportunity, an earned opportunity. And if you feel that it's pressure, you probably won't do well. But if you approach it where you've earned this opportunity to go for something even bigger, then you got a chance to play well.
See, Duke, in my opinion, is the better team. When Duke plays well, I don't think Carolina can beat them. But
Duke's best game is better than UNC's best game.
And the thing that impresses me is Duke had their backs to the wall against Michigan State. They had their backs to the wall against Texas Tech. Arkansas was a blowout. But twice in this tournament, you thought to yourself, they're going to be done. This is it. And they kind of rose from the ashes. So that what they didn't have in that final game at Cameron for Coach K and that team against Carolina last time out, they've had twice in this tournament so far.
Well, yeah, and you would imagine, too, right, that, I mean, this season for them has been different anyways. And they've already been in some high-pressure situations, right? The last home game against North Carolina was one of those situations. Moment felt like it was too big, so you learn from that. Like, yeah, you're always in big moments trying to pull from previous experience. That's what gives you comfort, right? Like, if you're going into whatever kind of game and you can kind of lean on, okay, you know, I've been here before, I've done it. It makes the game, it makes the game feel less important, right? It minimizes it a little bit, as opposed to your first time in the moment. It's like, oh, this is, I can't believe I'm playing, you know, in the Final Four. So maybe that's the benefit, but it also could work against them. I mean, if things go, you know, if there's some adversity early, and then it all of a sudden starts to set in that this is, you know, you're actually playing in a game to get to the national championship, and oh, by the way, this is Coach K's last game.
Yeah, well, that's what you saw, I think, the last time, because they led over Carolina in Cameron, and then in the second half, Carolina just absolutely destroyed them. But here's the thing. I don't think anybody really does, but I certainly don't think Carolina has an answer for Banchero. Like, he is the guy that if he plays well, because that's what they've done. They've rode him down the stretch of these games. They isolate him, and he either goes to the basket, hits these great shots, or he dishes it out for an open three. So who? Brady Manek can't handle Banchero.
No, but I think that the wild card in this whole thing is the magnitude of the game. And Banchero's dealt with cramps and stuff, too, which could be a problem in a game like this because you're so worked up.
And Duke only play, like, on a good day, they maybe will play seven. Maybe.
But you feel like in this moment, Duke just feels like they're just getting better. As the tournament's gone on, they're getting better.
Well, because they have. Because this is not, because RJ was saying all tournament long, he's like, Duke's not that good. They're going to go nowhere. And I thought the same thing. And that win against Michigan State, you're like, all right, they live to see another day. And they are, and so is Carolina, in fairness, playing their best basketball right now.
I think the biggest difference being that when you look at both teams, like there's more talent on Duke than there is North Carolina.
I think you're right. I think, like we said to start this whole segment, if you get Duke's best game, Carolina cannot win.
No, but that, again, to my earlier point, when you're in a moment like this, you don't know what's going to happen because sometimes, you know, certain guys just get caught up in the moment.
They get overwhelmed. And these are not, you know, now they've all been on the center stage their whole lives.
Yeah, but they're kids, though.
But that's the thing, right? Banchero is a freshman.
Griffin's a freshman.
Griffin's a freshman. Mark Williams is a sophomore. More Keels. None of the guys.
Roach is a sophomore.
None of the guys that get considerable minutes are anywhere beyond sophomores for Duke. Like Brady Manek is a fifth-year senior.
Yeah, so there's something to be said about being, you know, more mature, right? More experienced.
Maybe there. Yeah, you would think in analyzing it, maybe. But listen, I think there's a real chance Duke comes out and jumps out to a double-digit lead and never looks back. Like,
yeah, but see, you don't know though, right?
Like, what makes it so great. That's why sports are so great. You don't know.
But again, I mean, I think like Eli Manning, right, is a perfect example of that. Like Eli Manning, when you watch him during the regular season, it's like, okay, he's good. Yeah, he's fine. And then all of a sudden you put him in a moment where he's playing up against, you know, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, whoever it is, and you're like, okay, Brett Favre's a better quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback.
But not in the biggest moments.
No, because for some reason, Eli Manning is able to compartmentalize
the
moment.
But how many guys have that?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. That's the unicorn, right?
Like, I'm telling you, like, when we play in the playoffs, right, you try to tell the guys, like, listen, it should be no different. Like, everything you do before a game should be the same. The time you should show up is the same. Like, it's just another game. I know it's obviously the playoffs, but it's just try to make it a regular game. And you'd have guys that would show up, like, 2 hours, like, on the dot, 2 hours before the game. Like, the time you were supposed to be there, they would show up exactly at that time. They would, you know, hang out, have a coffee, you know, talk, relax, get dressed, and they'd just be fine. Like, just easy peasy. Playoffs would hit. They're there 3.5 hours before the game. They're all worked up. They're stretching. They're doing it like, well, what are you doing right now? You just made this so much bigger than it had to be. And then they go out and they play like crap. And they're like, oh, I don't know what happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Like, you treated it like it was
your own
different
head, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this game is so big. Like, there's no.
This game is humongous.
This is the biggest game that there's probably more pressure for these kids in this game. And I mean this.
Than the national championship game.
Not only that, that they will ever face. This game, to me, is bigger than any game any of these kids will face in the NBA.
I don't know about that.
This game will be remembered forever.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like game 7 of the NBA Finals to win a championship.
Yeah, listen, I understand that. But this game goes down. This is your biggest rival.
It will live forever.
It's the national stage. It's the end of Coach K's unbelievable career. Like, if I handed you this script in Hollywood, you'd say, come, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that won't happen. No, you're right. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, there's more pressure. This is almost like, I'll tell you what this is like. In different but kind of similar. This is like when, in 1980, when USA played Russia. Like, everyone just assumed that was the gold medal. That wasn't the gold medal game.
No, they had to beat, what, Finland, right?
Yeah, exactly right. But that was, I mean, that was the moment. If somehow, some way we find a way to win this one, we feel like, okay, yeah, I mean, we can beat Finland. Like, this one is, yeah, this will live forever, this game.
What do you think Duke or Carolina is like motivational-wise Monday after getting by whoever they beat on Saturday, whichever one of them wins that game?
There's got to be some fatigue mentally.
There's got to be a letdown of some sort, right?
There has to be some sort of letdown, but, I mean, at that point, maybe you just ride the high.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm so excited for this game.
Could you imagine what it's going to be like for those kids going back to school, like whoever wins?
Now you're going to be a conquering hero. And how about this? How about you go to school almost next door to the other school?
I could only imagine being a student right now at one of those places.
Alex is funny. He goes to me, have they canceled classes all week long? I'm like, no, I don't think they've canceled them all week. He's like, well, why not? How can anybody concentrate on anything?
Both of those schools would be fun places to be this weekend.
Oh.
Not that, I mean, the school that loses is going to be, I mean, it's going to be, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it could be terrible. DPHR Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And how about the Dollar Shave Club? Six-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with six stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things very smooth. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores. All right, let's get back to this Yankees story. I think you and I are in complete agreement, and I think RJ is as well. He roasted him. I think Raymond can't even believe this. I think most people are really bothered by what Brian Cashman said, especially with this report looming that may become public in the next week or two around the Yankees back in the same time period. But is it fair to say that Brian Cashman cannot get over 2017? Let me read you a quick excerpt of the article in The Athletic. It does bother me when people say we haven't been to the World Series since 2009. Well, this is me. I'm sorry, you haven't. So it might bother you, but you haven't been there since 2009. We did it all right by building it to a certain level that could have gotten us to a World Series if not for something else. But hey, we're back at it. Every year, we're still back at it. We've been qualifying for the postseason. We're going to take this team as far as we can get it, and hopefully we can push on through. He can't get over 2017.
No, and in all honesty, I would have a hard time getting over that too.
Five years in the future, though?
As a player, yeah, I would have a hard time getting over it. It would still bother me, but you didn't win in 2018.
You didn't win in 2019. You didn't win in 2020. You didn't win in 2021. So come on.
Well, and it wasn't a foregone conclusion that you were going to go in and beat the Dodgers. Like, Yankees fans can sit here and say, like, oh, we haven't even been to a World Series since 2009. That's not what Yankees fans want, though. Like, yeah, you would have been to the World Series. That mean you would have won the World Series. But still, I mean, that was 2017. It's 2022. You would still point back to we haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Right. So even if you would have gone to the World Series in 2017, you didn't go from 2009 to 2017, and you haven't gone from 2017 to where we are right now. If I told you the Yankees went to one World Series in 14 years, you'd look at that and say it wasn't a success.
The Yankees have changed. They have. I mean, they can sit here and the fans can keep going, yeah, it's World Series or bust, but that's not how they look at this thing now.
I don't know how you could.
Well, I don't think they could.
And people are like, oh, we haven't been to a World Series. Yeah, I don't think that's as true a statement as it could be, Cashman said. We had a World Series team, and either you get it done or you don't. People don't want to hear that.
But enough with that. They didn't hit. The reason they didn't hit.
This is his narrative. This is his narrative.
They scored three runs in the four losses. Three.
He believes they were cheated, and I hope to God, I really actually do, that nothing comes out that shows the Yankees have cheated either. Because if that does come out, he looks even more ridiculous than he does now.
Well, I mean, they already got banged out for cheating, just not to the level of the Houston Astros were doing it, and that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it looks ridiculous. I think he looks really, really petty with this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Not a huge fan of country music outside of being a member of the choir.
We love you some Eric Church.
You think they show him on the broadcast?
Yeah, they have to.
You think they discuss it on the broadcast?
I would imagine so, right?
I hope.
Big story.
It's a big, big story. I hope so. You think that there are people that now can't stand this guy that used to love him?
I think there's people that are mad at him, yeah.
I still think he's making the right decision.
I mean, for every one of you, I mean, I'm sure there's members of the choir that had tickets to this thing that are upset.
Well, I'm sure. But here's the thing. You cancel the show and he's going to have more shows and you go to those.
Yeah, but it's not that show. Like, that people are all excited. Some people plan, maybe some people plan trips to go see him in San Antonio.
Well, you know what? They'll redo it. They'll rework things. DPHR Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. What do you say we hear from some of the Yankees fans? Because I'm sure
I think we have to.
I don't think they're feeling great. Let's go. Dan in Connecticut. Dan wants to take the other side of this. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Happy Friday.
You too, Dan.
I mean, I'm not surprised as Mets fans you guys would take this route. It's an easy take to take, but I think that I love it as a Yankee fan. Cashman's holding on to it. It's personal for him. He puts his team together. He's raised these young guys up from the minors up. He's made trades that we needed to make. That is personal for him. I love that he's holding on to it. As he's talking about this in, like, July, August, making excuses, yeah, I don't want to hear it. But for the end of March, end of spring training.
It is an excuse, though, Dan. What are you talking about? This is 2017. This didn't happen last year.
5 years ago, Dan. Five years ago.
What are you talking? How does it worked out for you over the last 5 years?
You know good? It's been what it is. I mean, it's not perfect. It's not exactly what I want, but I'm not one of these Yankee fans that needs to sit here and say that, you know, every season's a failure without a championship. But I will say this. As a Yankee fan, I love that he's holding on to it. Let it be personal. Let him call him out more than the commissioners called him out. He's tougher on them and more truthful about than Manfred's been.
Well, Dan, how about what's hanging over and looming this report about the Yankees when that comes out?
It may not be good, and that's a fair point. I don't know what's out there, and I don't want to speculate. I don't want to assume anything. It may be a little bit. It may be a lot. I don't know. But all
well,
I know
how, Dan, how ridiculous does Brian Cashman look if this report comes out and the Yankees were also cheating?
Very, very ridiculous. Pie on the face. I will call back, and I will take back everything I've just said. I'll be embarrassed as a fan if we're just as bad, if not worse, than the Astros were. But if you look at what the Astros did, they didn't just cheat the Yankees. They cheated baseball. And I'm not saying we would have beat the Dodgers. And Cashman said that, too, and I get that. I'm just saying right now, as a Yankee fan, I love to hear it. I'm going to hold on to it, too. I'm not going to sit there and make excuses, but I love that it's personal for him because he loves his team. He's a pinstripe Piper, man. This is him. This is his team. Let him speak his call.
Yeah, now, but who cares? But then who cares if he takes it personal and there's nothing to show for it? Like, if this is something that you're going to use to motivate you to say, you know what, we got screwed, and I'm going to make sure that I don't let something like this, like, I'm going to show you. I mean, it's 2017, man.
How many players were on that team in 2017 that are still here now? Judge?
I mean, you got Judge.
Yeah, not a lot.
Well, no, I mean, there's enough, but, I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, he's taking it personal, but still.
Hey, what has that done for last you? Year, I guess I could understand it. I still think get over it, move on, there's a new season. But 5 years ago?
That's just low-hanging fruit, man, is what it is.
And what do you think is in this report? Why do you think the Yankees are doing everything in their power to not have it come out? Because it's going to be benign? I wouldn't think so.
No, I know, but he's a smart guy, though, man. I can't imagine. Like, he knows what's in that report. I mean, if he's going to come out and say this, it can't be. I mean, how bad can it be?
Then why do they care if it comes out or not?
Well, I mean, that again, that's a great question. I just don't know why you would, if you knew it was in that letter, and it had to do with, you know, you stealing signs with video equipment and everything else, why would you say anything? Just keep your mouth shut.
That haunts him. 2017 haunts him.
27 would haunt me too, but I mean, if in the same, but in saying that, like if you were also doing some shady stuff, they just were doing it to a different level, and they had more success doing it. Then I mean, what are we talking about?
We're talking about you couldn't do it as well as them, and they beat you, and you can't get over it.
Because now now you're the arbiter as to what is cheating and what's fair play.
That's right. You're the person that makes that determination now. Let's go to Mike, who's on the road. Mike, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, Mike. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, tonight, I just think with the comments that Brian Cashman made in that Athletic article, I just think it shows the fact that he's not taking ownership of the past 5 years of the Yankees not getting to the World Series. And maybe some of his missteps on doubling down on Aaron Hicks, doubling down on Clint Frazier, and all the other minor miscues that have happened over the past 5 years. And it just shows that his ego is getting in the way. You know, unfortunately, and trust me, I like Brian Cashman. I like a lot of the moves that he makes, but sometimes, you know, ego is just getting in the way, and he's just not taking ownership of the miscues that he does have, and that he's using the cheating scandal as an excuse. Rick was saying earlier.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, too. At what point, like, I thought it was for Yankees fans, like, it was World Series or it was a failure, to now even say, like, yeah, like, I don't know if we would have beaten the Dodgers, but at least we would have been in the World Series. Well, is that what we're trying to do here, just be in World Series, or are we trying to win World Series?
Well, I think we know that the Yankees are trying to win the World Series every year, or at least so they say. That anything that doesn't end in a championship is not a successful season.
All right, well, I mean, you say what you want. You scored three runs in the four losses.
Right, so whose fault is that? Who's to blame for that?
That has nothing to do with stealing signs. That you just can't hit.
Right. Let's go to Chris in mid. I guess it's Middle Ferry, right? I never heard of that.
Little Ferry.
Little
Ferry, yeah.
RJ Ferry.
Well, RJ, you know what, apologize, because you have Middle Ferry on the
Well,
screen.
Here's the problem, and I'll say this to you, Chris. You seem like a nice guy. I said back. I said Middle Ferry. I've never heard of it. Middle, and you said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's on me. Well, regarding Brian Cashman in 2017, that was only 1 year. The Yankees haven't done much since then.
Well, I don't know that I would say they haven't done much, but they haven't done what you would hope they would do.
Well, Yankees fans expect, yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can't argue it. The Yankees, and thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, the Yankees have underperformed in the postseason for a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, they get themselves there, but I mean, ultimately, everyone wants to win a championship. Well, that's what we were told. I mean, it wasn't, and this is his words, not mine. We don't want to win a championship. We want to win championships.
Right. Well, how about start with one?
Well, exactly right. Well, I mean, you're the one that set the expectations. Don't blame the Yankees fan for being upset.
Well, I think they should have been set there. Look at the youth on this team. I mean, you had Sanchez, you had Torres, you have Judge, you have Stanton. These are all guys that were young.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But again, I mean, I keep going back to, I mean, is there a new definition of success for the front office and ownership? I know they want to win a World Series, but do they look at it as, okay, as long as we get there, then?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that we have the answer for that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I mean, typically he's just one of three on the K Show, Don LaGreca. This week he's one of two because Michael has been out with COVID. He, of course, is the great Don LaGreca, and he is in a semifinal, I'd say, battle, Rick, but it doesn't feel like it's much of a battle at the moment, does it?
No, and this is what happens when you have bots voting for you, too. It just gets easy.
Don, with less than 1,000 votes on the table, is leading 83% to 17% over Mike Greenberg.
Flush it.
But we love him, and we just can't get enough of him, so that's why we invited him on this morning to kind of promote himself and host Sadness and get his take on DeGrom and the Mets and the Yankees and all that kind of stuff, and he is... Oh, one of our best friends here at the station, the great Don LaGreca. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. How are you? Hi, Rick.
Hey, Don. Nice to see you up bright and early, buddy. I love it.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
It's the new you.
Would you ever co-host a show with us one day?
Yeah, definitely.
You'd wake up in the fours and do a show at five with us.
I don't know if this makes sense, but I think it would be easier to wake up at 4 than 7:30.
That makes no sense. No.
I don't know, just because then you can kind of go back to bed. Like so right now, I don't know if I'll, you know, the kids are going to be up soon. So I think if I host, I don't know. I just find it easier to get up at 4. It's like the old days. Like, I used to sleep until noon back before the Twins.
Oh, we know.
Now I'm going to bed. Like, I'm an old man now. I watch the news. Then when I get the weather, and then I go to bed.
You get the weather from the 11 o'clock news, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. You hit a certain age where it's like really important to know the weather.
Yeah, it really is. So before we get to DeGrom, which I am near panicked about, you're going up against Greeny today. The winner faces Michael on Monday in the championship of Host Sadness. You want to kind of let people know why they should vote for you today against Greeny, which they've already come out in full force and done. You have a commanding lead over him at the moment.
I want to see this more interesting. Vote for Greeny. He's so much more talented, such a nice guy. Vote Greeny.
But you don't mean that. You don't want to lose.
No, I don't want to lose. But again, what happens? When I'm going to get inundated with tweets from people saying, "Oh, the Don got the bots again." Stop. I don't even know what they're talking about. Now, do I know if somebody? How many votes have there been so far?
778.
All right. So I don't think anybody went. And
I don't think
like
I don't. I don't
votes.
Think there's any bots at the moment. But you would agree that there was a cheating scandal in our matchup the other day.
Well, something happened. If you're telling me the analytics said that it went like 4,000 to zero, yeah, obviously something happened. But I had nothing to do with it. Nobody on the show had anything to do with it. Well, so your silence expresses doubt.
No, I believe it.
I thought Rick
Dave
would
doesn't.
Say
I believe
something
it. No, no, I believe it. Listen, I believe it. I don't think you did it. Somebody did it though. Somewhat. The most votes we've ever had in one of these is what, Dave? Just under $5,000.
I think either right under or shade over 5,000.
And your matchup with Don now,
8,200.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a
big
difference.
But not only that, you got a 4,000 vote surge in a 6-minute span.
Yeah, something happened. But the question is, who did it? And it wasn't Michael. He has no idea. And it wasn't Peter, because otherwise he would have done it for himself the day before.
I think that's fair. And I believe that it's not you. But what I did not like is that the three of you in unison blamed Rick. Now, I'd like to hash that out now. Why did you blame Rick?
Because I just think that he had motive.
And the means.
Because I think he likes to see you stir. No, because he's brilliant. It's more of a compliment than really an allegation of it really caused a nice stir. It's really like helped out both shows. It's helped out the social media accounts. And it made you squirm. And I think Rick enjoys that. So,
Rick, how do you respond to that?
I do enjoy that, Don. You're right, but you're also talking to the same guy who couldn't send out a tweet yesterday for 45 minutes and then proceeded after a very, very productive 2.5-hour phone call with the bosses to to stick my hand in the oven and grab a hot pan with my bare hand.
Don, listen to this. You think that we have problems? He has the pot holder in the one hand, opens the oven, and grabs the skillet with the hand without the pot holder on it.
I could see it. No, I could see myself doing it.
Don gets me because Don has young kids. You don't understand. Your kids are older now. You don't have to worry about it.
What does young kids have anything to do with?
It's a dramatic thing that happened to Rick. But tell me, when the kids were younger, you're not standing in the kitchen saying, why did I come in here? And like legitimately for like 30 seconds, not really. And then just like go back to where you were, hoping it'll trigger. Like your mind's just a mess.
I have that now. I'll stand in front of the fridge and I'll be like, what? I know I came here for a reason, but I can't exactly put my finger on it. But that being said, never once have I had a pot holder on one of my hands and grabbed a 400-degree skillet with the other hand.
I haven't, but I'm sure I've done something equivalent to that.
When was the last time you were by an oven, Dave? I mean, you have instant oatmeal for dinner and a peanut butter and
one
jelly
night.
Sandwich.
Don, tell me this. Tell me cinnamon raisin instant oatmeal with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in addition does not sound like a nice, quick meal when you don't have time to make something.
Yeah, every once in a while. That's like having waffles for dinner, right? Why not? It's easy.
Waffles is fine. I have a nice waffle for dinner, maybe some sausage or bacon on the side. He got two instant oatmeal packages and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He's almost 50 years old.
It's not oatmeal. Like it's a nightly thing. It happened one night.
Oatmeal is very underrated.
See, Don gets it. So you don't want people to vote for you. You want them to vote for Greeny.
I don't. What am I going to advocate for myself against the great talent? Listen, if you love this station, you pick who you like, but. I think I'm a wonderful person. I don't sit there and wax poetic at how great the landscaping is at the Masters. Oh, you got to watch it because the azaleas are gorgeous. I've never heard anybody talk about a sporting event and they love it because of the landscaping. Well, turn on the Home and Garden Network if you want to see great landscaping.
I will tell you this. If you told me I'll give you $1,000 to never watch golf again in the history of my life, I would take it and run and never put the sport on again.
Because you heard the story where Greeny said if there was only one sporting event he could watch, like if they were all on the same day, he would watch Sunday at the Masters.
Over the Super Bowl.
Over the Super Bowl, over the NBA Finals, over the Final Four, over all of it.
Over this Carolina-Duke game.
Right, this Carolina-Duke game. You know, So I just said, you know what? That doesn't sound like somebody I'd want to hang around with. I respect Greeny, but you know what? If that's your opinion, then we don't have enough in common to really be close.
Yeah.
If I were in a room where the only thing on the television was the Masters, I'd drive my head into the TV. Right? So
you don't care for golf.
But fine. Like Peter went on a whole soliloquy about how he loves Sunday at the Masters, and he talked about the competition and how tough the course is. And I said, you know what? I respect that opinion. Because there are people, Rick, that don't like hockey, and I don't get it. But, you know, fine. Everybody's got their own preference. But I've never heard anybody talk about a sporting event, and they're talking about how great the grass looks, how green the grass, and how amazing the azalea. I never heard that.
It'd be nice to send Peter down to Augusta to get some landscaping done on him. Look at those hairy arms every day. Oof.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. But it's working for him, so who are we to complain?
So Don, I saw this last night, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. We've talked about it a lot this morning. I'm sure you guys are going to talk about it on your show at 3 o'clock today, of course, Michael Kay show.
It's baseball, though, Dave. Remember, it's baseball.
Yeah, but I think Peter understands the magnitude of how big this is.
Well, you'll hear a lot of me, that's all.
and that is the DeGrom. Don, I'm terrified. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm terrified of what's going to happen here.
I don't know what to think. I mean, that's kind of like where we are with this sport, right? That's why I don't know if 12 pitchers are enough to get through a season anymore. But specifically with him, and I brought this up last year and I got jumped by a lot of Met fans. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't give 100%. Maybe, Rick, as an athlete, you can articulate it better than me. But as a pitcher, I think you have to manage yourself better. To go out there and throw as fiercely as he does every single start and go out there and pitch like you want to get a perfect game every single start, aren't you really tempting fate physically to expect to do that for 35 starts? Now, I know you want to go out there and win every time you pitch. and give 100%. But does every pitch have to be 100 miles per hour? Does every slider have to be 95? Rick, at some point during the course of a game or during the course of a season, do you kind of dial it down so you can live to fight another day? Do you have to strike out the pitcher with a filthy 97-mile-per-hour slider? Or do you say there's certain at-bats where I'm going to dial it down so I don't kill myself? Is that fair?
No, I think that's fair. I just think, you know, especially last season, I think he got caught up in having a historic start to that season. So it was an opportunity for him, and he wanted to, you know, seize the moment, so he didn't feel like he should dial it back. I think Dave and I were talking about this too. At a certain point, yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, in big moments, right? I mean, runners in scoring position, whatever it is, you need a big out, then dial it up. Give me 101, whatever it takes. But there are also times where, you know, quick outs, you know, give me 96, 97 instead of 101. I said this to Dave earlier. My bigger concern with this whole thing is they can't pinpoint what's actually wrong. And as an athlete, all you want to be told is, hey, this is it. Even if it's surgery, this is what's wrong. We'll fix it. Yeah. You'll rehab. You'll be back. With this, it's just every time he goes in the MRI tube, it comes back. Well, what was it? Well, we don't know. We don't see anything.
Scary. I mean, you almost just want to know. Like everybody said, good news. They didn't find anything in DeGrom. Well, if he's feeling pain, there's something there. Something's coming. Now, on the other side of it, you know, we thought the same thing with Tanaka with the partial tear, and it never became a problem. So I guess this is just something we live with. There's going to be times he's going to miss starts. I didn't particularly love the other day that Scherzer had to throw 84 pitches in the spring. I'm wondering if the competition between these two can become a bit of an issue because you just don't want anybody to get hurt. Listen, if you lose one of those two guys, I think it completely drastically changes the season, right? I mean, I'm not guaranteeing them to win this division because Atlanta's really good. Philadelphia's improved. But I think they're a playoff team. But if they lose DeGrom, I'd have to rethink that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Dave's whole philosophy, and it's kind of how we felt, right? Go back to, you know, that run we made in 2015. I mean, the different expectations, right? Like, it was eventually we got to a point where it's like, okay, just get in and we'll see. I mean, we're built for it. It's the same kind of thing. Like, we've got a lot of talent here, but it's like when you look at this rotation, everyone healthy. I mean, they're built for the postseason, and God forbid you lose, you know, DeGrom especially. It's like it's a wet blanket for the whole season.
Yeah, and then also a wet blanket for just, all right, the future, because then this would be a second season in which he's hurt. And you begin to wonder, okay, is this somebody we can rely upon? I mean, he's just so fantastic, and that's the disappointing thing. There's the Met aspect, because, hey, you go back to 2015, you know, it was Gezelman and Lugo that got them into the postseason, right? Because they had injuries galore with the rotation, and they found a way, Nationals collapse, and they get in. But I just want to watch him pitch. I mean, it's fun to be a Met fan again, to be able to I'm looking forward to seeing DeGrom pitch. I'm looking forward to see Scherzer pitch, and I don't want to have to go through what we did last year, where you just didn't know if he's going to make a start week to week.
Yeah, because he's such a gem, and he's great for the Mets and the Mets fan, but he's great for baseball. A guy that can pitch at that level is great for the game. Of course, it is Don LaGreca with us here on DiPietro and Rothenberg. On this Friday morning, are you calling Islanders Rangers tonight?
I am not. I'm calling Rangers Philly of Rangers Flyers on Sunday, but I'll be on the pre and post.
This Rangers team is terrific, aren't they? I mean, rolling along, winning games they shouldn't win. You know, goaltending not great in certain games and finding a way. It feels like this team is getting better as the season is going on, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's weird how in the beginning of the season it was, well, they can't beat good teams. They're only, you know, mopping up on the bad teams. And now they're beating the good teams and they're struggling with the bad teams, having to go to overtime with Detroit, overtime with Buffalo, got beat by the Devils last week. But I do think those are little reminders that they're not – I don't think they're Carolina. I don't think they're Colorado. I don't think they're that level to where they can just show up and beat you. But they learned their lesson, I think, that if they – take a moment off, take a period off that they can get beaten. And I think that Devil game taught them a lesson because the Buffalo and Detroit games were following the emotional victories over Pittsburgh. So that's going to happen. But Kreider's been amazing. Zibanejad, Panarin's got 80 points. It's crazy because we talk so much about Zibanejad and Kreider that very quietly Panarin has put up 80 points. And I guess the way he plays and how streaky he can be might flirt with 100. Shesterkin is amazing. And guys, I don't ever remember the Rangers being this deep on the blue line. Now, there's a lot of inexperience. That's why I think it's important to get into the playoffs. But Trouba's been a beast. Miller is going to be a star. You know how good Lindgren and Fox are. Nemeth is a nice, solid third pairing guy, and whether it's Schneider or Braun, I mean, you build up the middle, right? So when Strom comes back and he's healthy, you're really good, and Hedl's playing well at center. You know, you're deep on the blue line, and you've got one of the best goaltenders in the league. And that's a combination of being in every game and possibly making a run. It might not be this year, but I think they're clearly building into something that's going to be pretty special. And I thought Drury did a great job getting Kopp, getting Mott, getting Braun for depth. I mean, there's really not a lot of five-on-five hasn't been great. They've given up, a power play goal in six straight games. So there's things they need to improve on. But, guys, this looks like it's no fluke. This is a team that I think is going to be good for a while. And I was upset that they they made the coaching change with Quinn. But Gallant certainly has been perfect for this team. So you got to be thrilled if you're a Ranger fan.
Yeah, Quinn didn't get a fair shake. I will say this, though, Don, to your 5-on-5 point. Saw this little nugget for Dave last night. Since the trade deadline, the Rangers have 16 5-on-5 goals, which leads the NHL.
Nice.
And
a lot of that has to do, I got to tell you, I loved him in Winnipeg, but Kopp is a really good player. He's not somebody, you know, when you looked at Winnipeg, you think of Scheifele when Line A was there. Like, there were so many other players that you thought of before Kopp, but you know, he wins faceoffs. He gets key goals. That was his fourth game-winning goal of the season the other night, three with Winnipeg, his first with the Rangers. He's got, 7 points in 5 games since being here? So. Mm-hmm. And, again, he's not somebody that you're even going to name now when you're talking about great players on the Rangers, but it's those types of players that win you games. I don't know if you – well, you'll remember, Dave, and Rick, because you're young. But that 95 Devil team, the biggest move they made at the trading deadline was getting Neil Broughton. I was like, Neil Broughton, but he won faceoffs, he scored big goals. It's little things like that that – completed team. I was really impressed with Chris at the deadline. I wasn't sure they were going to do anything.
Hey, you know what the great thing is? And Don, we do have to run in a second, but what the great thing is, they didn't even mortgage a lot. Like there was this concern that they were going to give up so much and really dip into their future. So they got better now, and they didn't give up a ton.
Well, the only thing is, if they get to the conference final, that Kopp trade becomes a first-round pick.
Okay, you know what? That's if you get to the conference finals.
You make that trade in a second. Because if you're sitting there in the conference final, that means you got through Carolina. And if you're in the conference final against Florida or Tampa, teams, by the way, that you've won 5 or 6 games against during the regular season, tell me you wouldn't sign for that.
I would sign for that right now.
And Kopp is going to be someone that you'd want to keep anyway, though.
Maybe. Do you keep him over Strom if you had to make the choice?
All right, we got to go, Rick. I understand that you like to add these extra questions.
Don't ask me questions up against the clock. And clock integrity, man.
Yeah, he's not paying close attention. Donnie, you know how we feel about you. I felt the way last week when I thought there was cheating. I don't think it was you. Good luck today against Greeny, and have a great show at 3 o'clock today.
You're right. You read me well. I want to crush Greeny.
There you go. Donnie, we'll talk to you.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Sounds like he just woke up.
Just woke up, yep.
And how about that rationale? It's easier to wake up at 4:30 in the morning than 7:30 in the morning.
I can promise you that's not the case.
Yes. I'll tell you, do that for 5 straight days and get back to me.
Yeah. Call me on Friday. Yeah, Friday morning.
I don't think you would feel like this. I'm not sure where I am at the moment.
By the way, I didn't ask the question either. I made a statement. I did not ask the question.
You know what happens if you make a statement to Don? He can go on till next Thursday.
I love him.
That first Ranger answer was he was going for the Guinness record.
You just mentioned hockey, baby.
You mentioned hockey, and that's it. You get Don back like 4 minutes later. All right, Santi. See, I saved it, so you have time to do your thing. Do your thing.
Today's 3 stars. Number 3.
Oh, you just heard him. Host sadness, Greeny versus Don LaGreca. Looks like a landslide victory, but...
This is great.
This is great, says Don LaGreca. We'll look back on yesterday's poll, and even though Rick didn't win, I will reemphasize, Dave.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. Don't feel bad.
I don't.
Number 2.
Go ahead.
No, I don't feel bad at all. I'm fine.
No, okay. You know who should feel bad?
Who?
Brian Cashman.
We suck right now.
Because he goes over here and he complains to the Athletic, and we've basically been calling him a clown for it all morning, and he deserves it. But I'm, as a Yankee fan, I can't get enough of the annoyance that I have for what Brian Cashman had to say about the Astros. Happened 5 years ago. Get over it. We all had to. You should too.
Number 1.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let it play.
Thank you for being a friend.
I thought we would get it today. I didn't I didn't think that it would be the circumstances that we did, because you went and sabotaged the segment and then went and blamed me and RJ for it, but I'm glad that we got
blame
here.
You and RJ. You guys were awful.
A friend.
You guys were terrible in that segment.
It was an awful concept. It was an awful segment, and you should feel bad.
And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. All right, let's bring him in. Jay Williams, whose stress level, of course, he comes through in moments here on 98.7 ESPN on KJM. You have to be stressed out today, Jay. You have to be.
I've been scratching myself and walking anxiously for the whole week. What do you mean today? This has been leading all the way up to Friday. I just want to get to tomorrow. Please help me.
You're scratching because you were in an aggressive turtleneck yesterday. It was probably itchy, that thing.
Rick, turtlenecks are in, okay? Turtlenecks are in. And plus, people are like, oh, you look like Morris Chestnut. You guys don't even know who that is. But it feels like that's my sexy look, Rick. I feel like it works. Have you ever worn a turtleneck?
Yeah, I've worn a turtleneck. Not that aggressive. I mean, that looked like you were in a car accident before the show.
I was sweating profusely during first take.
What? Of course you were. You had like three layers on. What do you mean we don't know who Morris Chestnut is?
Well, I don't, Rick, do you know who Morris Chestnut is?
He's from Boys in the Hood. Of course we know who he is.
Are you sure? Can you tell me a movie he's been in?
Yes, he's in Boys in the
Hood. Don't look it up, Dave. Dave, don't you look it up on the internet.
I'm not looking up anything. You think I don't know Morris Chestnut?
Tell me, Rick, I'm asking Rick, not you, Dave. Rick, tell me a movie Morris Chestnut is in.
No, he was Ricky in Boys in the Hood. Come
that's
on,
okay.
Listen. This is not. Right. Don't treat me like Max Kellerman right now, Jay Will. Don't treat me like Max Kellerman.
Out of all the movies, Ricky and Boys in Hood. Okay, but you know what? That's a classic movie. I respect that. No, I respect
there you
it.
Go. So we said this earlier because we were breaking down college basketball like very few can. You can, but not a lot of people can. Here's our take: if Duke plays their best game, Carolina cannot win this game.
Agreed. But can I tell you guys what I'm hot on? Am I allowed to take a quick turn here, boys?
Yes.
Your Theo Huxley sweater you're wearing today?
Yes. Rick, our relationship has grown so much more since you followed me on Twitter.
Show, please do not bring mention of that show.
I will not bring it up.
Yes.
I'm watching a Brooklyn game last night, and I have to ask you guys this question because I think it's open for debate. After watching KD last year, and I know the foot being on the line and, you know, that game could have won the game if he had wore a size 15 instead of a size 17. I get all that. But I'm wondering, do the Nets want Kyrie to take those shots down the stretch? I mean, Kyrie is way more elusive when that double team comes to KD during regulation. Kyrie can back that thing up, can split the double team. I'm starting to question whether I think I believe in Kyrie more down the stretch for game-winning shots. I'm not saying Kyrie is more of a prolific scorer than KD. KD is one of the greatest scorers the game of basketball has ever seen. But I am starting to recognize that down the stretch, knowing Kyrie made a huge shot for the Cleveland Cavs to win an NBA Finals series, why isn't the ball in Kyrie Irving's hand because of his ability to make plays happen for others and for himself? What do you guys think?
I didn't like the last. I mean, I know it's Kevin Durant. I didn't like that last shot in regulation. I agree with you.
There were two, even the shot in overtime.
Yeah,
two cracks at it.
I will tell you this though. My biggest takeaway from that game was Giannis making his free throws. Because we knew all about that last year.
I
mean, we're starting to talk about Giannis being the best player in the world, Dave. Like that's our conversation today. I woke up with Giannis wearing the crown today. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong at all, Rick. Ask your question. Go,
Jay. What are you guys talking about today on the show?
We're talking about Brian Cashman and these comments that were made. I don't know how you boys feel about it, but I agree with him. And I'm glad he's drawing a line in the sand.
Stop it. He's being
What do you mean, stop it? It's the reality.
For God's sakes. It's five years ago.
So what? A lot of things can change. I mean, why can't you be mad about things 5 years ago? You're mad about stuff that happened 2 days ago, Dave.
2 days ago, I'd understand. 5 years ago, feels like that's the statute of limitations. Let it go.
That's lies. I disagree. We're arguing about that in our show. That's
good.
What
I like
doing.
It. And I hear you have Chris Russo right now.
That's right. A lot of yelling and a lot of arguing. Get ready for it.
Go to your show. Good luck tomorrow, my friend.
Thanks for the plug, boys.
All right, there you have it. That, of course, Jay Williams. Chris Russo, in moments, he'll yell about whatever it is on his mind. It's Rule 76.
Do we know who Morris Chestnut is? No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and
the Golden Girls.
Ooh, on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.